for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tuesday morning, December the 28th, 2010. Clement Humbard is the speaker of the morning, teaching on I Am Because He Is.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow. Notice, follow. Believers don't run after signs. Signs run after true believers. These signs shall follow them that believe. And here is the fivefold dominion of the believer. In my name they will cast out demons, devils. True believers have spiritual authority in the spiritual world to cast out demons. They shall speak with new, refreshed languages. They have a new life and a new tongue. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. It's not talking about in the hills of Kentucky or West Virginia bringing a poisonous serpent in. Apostle Paul is a believer. When a serpent came out of the fire, you know, after the shipwreck, and fastened on to him, he just shook him off in the fire. And that brought a revival because they knew that that particular serpent, when it bit people, a few minutes later they were dead. But this is dominion over natural law and the animal world. Amen. I used to, in Ohio, during the snow season, I'd have a white dove come to my bedroom window. I have no idea where it came from. But I happened to tell that to someone. You know, most things God does for you, it's an intimate relationship. You have no business telling everybody. Well, bring glory and honor to God. Well, there's some things to tell. But about half of our troubles is because we talk too much and don't know what we're doing. Or God doesn't want that intimate relationship and conversation He's had with you blabbed to every Tom, Dick, and Harry every place. Do you understand that? In courting days, moon and June, and, you know, fellas whispering in that lovely young lady's ear. But suppose he went to work the next day and everybody would say, "Moon, June, oh, your eyes remind me of the ocean or the stars." Well, you know what you'd do? You'd say, "Let some other guy whisper in her ear." I didn't tell that to the whole town. That was an intimate thing. I spoke to her. You understand that we're never to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ or the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But that's not the idea. You cast your pearls before swine and render that which is holy unto dogs, unless you have assurance God's Spirit want you to talk to that particular person at that particular time. Some of the great things God's done for me, I never tell them till months later or years later, and some I never tell. God has never released me to tell them. So, in my name they'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. It is dominion over the spiritual world, dominion over the old life, you're a new creature in Christ, and its dominion over the natural world. I remember William Branham said he wanted, when he was young, he wanted to make a quick trip, and he went across a big field. He got in the middle of the field, and a big raging bull come running at him. He said, "Oh, I've forgotten this bull just killed a man." But he looked back, and he's too far to run back. He looked around for a tree. There's no tree. So he just stood there and quoted Mark 16 chapter. "These signs shall follow them that believe." That raging mad bull came right up within a few feet of him, stopped, pawed the earth, and started eating grass. See, according to need. Then the next thing said, if they drink any deadly thing, you better sanctify your food and water. It's becoming deadly today, which you heard well explained by our guest speaker. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Even in our home, when we so-called say the blessing or thank God for the food, we claim and speak the promises of God. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And Lord, You said through the psalmist, You satisfy our mouth with good things, so our youth is renewed like the eagles. Speak it over yourself. Speak it over your family. Then it said, they shall lay hands on the sick, and some of them recover. Once in a while, you'll have two or three out of 100 recover. Listen, here's some of God's... No, that's not right. Here's some of God's eternal shouts. It said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, what does it say? Shall what? No if, and, or but. If you believe, which means believing obedience on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. He that believeth not, well, maybe God will put on the scales and see what good I've done and what evil and balance, and I might get in heaven. No. And if the scales be down, then I go to hell. No. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs maybe will follow the believers. No. Here's one of God's eternal shalls. If you and I would approach the New Testament or the whole Bible as a new book to us, underline the shall and shall nots, the will and will nots, it would change the most basic surface theology in the church today. It said, these signs shall follow them that believeth. And believers will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. We know that if you do not remove the cause, normally you don't have the cure, and there are conditions on all of these things. But thank God He's still on the throne. And the fivefold dominion of the believer. God has laid it on my heart this morning to speak not on the fivefold believer. If you know me, my first remarks to scriptures is always an introduction. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that each of us may see the invisible, hear the inaudible, feel the intangible, speak and believe the eternal Word of God. After everything is said and done in this service, I humbly pray, O God, Your majesty throughout the universe, Your glory covers this earth like the water does the sea. Wonderful Counselor, Emmanuel, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Great
I am the lily of the valley, the Son of God, the Son of Man, and the Son of David. May Christ only be seen. After everything is said and done, may no voice be heard except that still small voice of God Himself. We'll give Thee the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen. I've been in 41, I think, or 43 nations. Our immediate family has been constantly in the ministry, my dad, my brothers, my mother, for 104 years, winning souls on every continent on earth through the grace of God. And I've never been at a place, any place on earth, where people are so calendar age conscious as Garland County. When I came back to Hot Springs, and I never dreamed I'd come back here at all and work out of Hot Springs, I'd have total strangers run across the parking lot. Hey, you, wait. And you know what? They'd run into my parents and say, how old are you? I'd say, forever young. Speak it over you. Speak it over yourself. Don't start sitting around in a rocking chair or get up and say, oh my, I guess the lumbago is coming back and I feel that arthritis that my grandma had. Keep speaking it and you'll have it. Most of my life, I leaped out of bed at mornings. Sometimes I got in bed at 3 a.m., 5 a.m. I slept an hour or two, and I'd leap out of bed, throw my hands up and praise God, and say, where is it today, Lord? You lead. I'll follow. You remember I told you that if you talk about a little dog, he may be asleep over there. You say, Brother Clement, I have the cutest little dog. Little Fido over there, and you tell me something he did. His ears perk a little. You said Fido. Then you keep talking about him. You say Fido, and his eyes open. You keep saying his name, and he gets up. What does he do? He trots over to you. Don't get out of bed all crippled up. Someone help me to a rocking chair. Can someone bring me a cup of coffee? You know I'm no good till I get my coffee. Good Lord. Quit acting and talking like the world. You are a believer. You're saved, born again, quickened by the Spirit of God. If that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it will make alive, quicken your mortal body. And quit saying, oh my, I guess that back is getting all out again. Keep speaking it, tell it to two or three people, repeat it to yourself, and it'll get all out again. Little Fido will come running. Get up and say, oh, that's not mine. In Jesus' name, I rebuke this thing. It's not mine. It doesn't belong. Someone give me an amen. You have a calendar age. Forget it. Forget your calendar age. Forget how old you are. Why don't you say how young? Forget it. You have a calendar age. You have a physical age. You have a mental age. You have an emotional age. But above all, you have a spiritual age. You're renewed day by day. Man, I'm feeling resurrection power right now. Praise God. You know, Lazarus had been in John, Gospel of John, the 11th chapter. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. When Jesus came, he told Mary, told Martha, your brother's going to live again. Yes, Lord. We're Hebrew believers. We believe our brother will arise again. Someday he'll live at the resurrection. What did Jesus say there in John 11, chapter verse 25? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Lift your hand with me and say, I am resurrection. Say it again. One more time. You say, well, Brother Clement, I don't know if I mean that or not. Well, 1 John 4:17, the latter part of the verse said, as He is, so are we in a sweet pie and by. We'll eat pie in the sky. No, as He is, so are we in this present world. Did you hear it? That's not out of context. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, after explaining how to know if a spirit is of God, if it will confess Jesus Christ come in the flesh, it's of God, then 1 John, the 4th chapter says, God is love. Love one another, for God is love. It says twice, God is love. And in verse 17, it said, as He is. What's the subject? God. As He is what? As He is love. So are we love in this present world. Don't try to love your enemies. Become love with God. I am love. It said God is love and said, as God is love, so are we in this present world. Lift your hand and say, I am love. Say it again. Please, one more time. I am love. See, you don't try to love your enemies. What does love do? Love loves. There's a place in the love of God you have no enemies. Did you hear me? It's their problem, not your problem, unless you've trespassed or caused an offense. It's easy to love your enemies when you become love. This is not my Bible, but I thank God that mine just comes so unraveled that I almost can't preach out of anymore. But run to Psalms, and I know I've discussed this before, but go to Psalms 127 with me right quickly, and I'm going to explain something, because there's an awful lot of new people here, and some of you are still, you're not in shock, but you're wondering who this fellow is and what. Well, listen. Don't pass judgment until you hear everything I say. None of us know it all, got it all. Do you know who a spiritual person is? A spiritual person desires more of God this very moment. Spirituality is not, oh, I'm saved, sanctified, got the Holy Ghost, I this, that. No, that may not be a spiritual person at all. That may be a dead knot on a log. A spiritual person right now, you have God, but you want more of God. God blesses you, but want more of the blessings of God. God uses you, but you want to be used in a more wonderful way. You walk with Him, but you want a more intimate walk and talk with Him. In Psalms 127, I beg your pardon, 120, Psalms 120. I get out of my Bible, I'm in trouble. But anyway, it says, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Do you notice? I, then am for, is in italics. What does that mean? Please. It's been added. When the King James translators, God bless them, they did a terrific, magnificent, inspired translation into English 400 years ago. Thank God for it. But it said, I, in the original, I, peace. There can be no literal translation from one language to other. It can be almost, can be the same meaning. But you say, well, just take word for word for word. Yeah, well, even in Spanish, you and I know many times, you and I'd say, there goes a blue car, but they'd say it, a car, blue. So, here it says in the Hebrew, I, peace. That doesn't make sense, does it? The Hebrew pronoun cares its own verb. In English, this is not true. You know what he's saying? I am peace. I am peace. It cares. It does. I'm not adding to it. That's what it means. And the only way to translate in English, I am peace. Now, it's wonderful to have the peace of God, make peace with God, have the peace of God should have brought in our heart by the Holy Spirit of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. It's wonderful to have peace with God. I deal a lot in South America and Central America. And sometime I preach in Rome, Italy. And they talk the Romantic Portuguese, Spanish, and Italian, they talk a lot about peace. Peace in my heart, and so forth. Oh, I want peace. And many right here in America, you know, you lead them to Christ, and oh, I have peace. So, the psalmist said, I not only have peace from God, I am peace. As He is, so are we in this world, and God is a God of peace. Now in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Let's go back to Psalms 104. 109, yes, thank you. 109, verse 4. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. It didn't say that. It said, I prayer. That's what it said. Though, see, because the translator said, this doesn't make sense. Let's just add a few words. Well, they misdirected the main thought. It said prayer. Did you know your whole life can become a prayer unto God? Whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, your whole life can become a prayer to God. I've had the privilege of knowing men like F.F. Bosworth, Raymond T. Ritchie, Gordon Lindsay, Mordecai Ham that led Billy Graham to Christ. I don't mean I just met them or shook hands. I've been in their home. I've eaten with them. I've traveled with them. I could go right ahead. Practically every person in the great healing movements in the late 40s and 50s I knew personally. And did you not know many of these, and even my own dad and mother, sometime you didn't know whether they were praying to God or talking to you. You'd walk along with them, and sometimes they weren't trying to be super spiritual at all. Heaven was so near, and you are a spiritual person. I hate to say this, but I will. If you'll read your Bible clearly, you'll find that one of the errors of doctrine that New Testament believers have and our churches have is that we have two natures. My Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, new nature. If you believe you have two natures, and you're always slipping back the old carnal man, then that's exactly where you'll live. But if you believe you are a new creation born again from above, and as 2 Peter 1:4 says, all the promises of God are that ye might be partaker of the divine nature. The divine nature of God. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm tired of ministers getting in the pulpit and radio and television and books excusing themselves from all of their defeated life. Say, well, you know, the old carnal nature, I got mad. Well, brother, God can make you glad. The Bible said, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. Well, somebody didn't shake hands with me at the Bible camp. Oh, grow up. Good Lord, have mercy. Little babyhood Christianity. Gimme, 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 and forgive me, Lord. And looking around to see who you can get mad at. Why don't you grow up in Christ? Nothing will offend you. Did you hear it? Here he said, I am prayer. Isn't this wonderful? Did you ever, during the nighttime, hear someone praying or praising God in the distance, and it gets a little louder and a little louder, and it wakens you up, and you find it is you praising God, singing and praising God and praying unto God, even in the nighttime? The psalmist didn't say only, I pray. He did pray. He didn't say, I have the peace of God. See, this is the true identification of born-again, Spirit-filled believers. You are partaker of the divine nature of God. Jesus Christ took on human nature that we might be partaker of the divine nature of Almighty God. Isn't it easy to blame everything on the devil? There's songs 40 years ago and something, the devil made me do it. The world was singing, the devil made me do it. Well, the demons of hell are bothering me. Well, your biggest demon is the one that's bothering you, is the one that you see when you comb your hair and looking in the mirror. You conquer self and sell out to Jesus, and you will find that you and the Lord can handle anything, the devil at any time. Look, excuse me, I cannot walk two directions same time. Impossible. Whatever a person does, psychologically, your whole being is doing it. One man told the judge, Judge, you go to the same church I do, and you know, I was tired and someone left their motor running, and I thought, well, this won't hurt anything. I'll just get in that car and I don't feel well, and I drive across town and I'll just leave it over there. He got caught. And he says, but Judge, you know, I sing an Amazing Grace in my spirit, but you know, you go to the same church I do as this old carnal man, the old flesh, made me do it. The judge said, okay, I'm going to give a sentence. Let the spiritual man go free, but this old flesh, lock him in jail up for 90 days. See how ridiculous? What you do with your whole being. The Bible said when a man is tempted, don't let him say he's tempted of God, for God tempts no man to sin. It said that man sins when he's drawn away after his own lust. And that lust, 1 John, 2nd chapter, I believe about verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. These things are the world, the Scripture says. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And it said, if you do such things, it means death. But if you conquer the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, it said, you live forever. The devil doesn't make you do anything. A man is drawn away after his own lust. Lust conceiveth, the Bible said, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. People don't really repent of their sins unconditionally when they claim salvation today in our churches. They they try to believe and hold on in the world. In other words, if they had a problem, say, with alcohol, said just laying it on. Oh, incidentally, I never knew of an alcoholic to get saved in my dad's ministry. My dad didn't have to counsel with them, or he didn't even preach against it. But every one of them quit alcohol. Mordecai Ham said, in 55 years ministry, with over 1 million people joining the Southern Baptist churches, he could not trace one alcoholic, they called them drunkards then, one drunkard that came down to profess Christ and repent of his sins that wasn't completely cured that moment. I remember when I was young, there'd be a deck of cards, there'd be a dice, and liquor bottles left at the altar. In my own meetings, we had to, the tent crew had to clean up every night almost, because, and we didn't stand there and preach against, we just preached the gospel and glorified Christ. But thank God, people really repented. When you really repent, you don't leave a little reservation in your mind. Well, if I'm out on a hunting trip, no one would know it, and I'd have a few drinks with the boys. See, you haven't completely repented, completely turned. The Bible said a godly sorrow, that is, you're convicted by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come, He will convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, it said that it leads to repentance. A godly sorrow leadeth unto repentance, unto salvation, that you have no regrets over, that needeth not be repented of. You don't repent because you did repent. So you have a godly sorrow of your sins. To really be born again, we've got to come clean with God. No reservations. Then Jesus talks about following Him, obeying His commandments. There's no such thing as salvation without obedience. I'm going to repeat this. There's no such thing as salvation without obedience. If you keep my word, if you obey me, then Jesus said, if you abide, I am the vine and ye are the branches, but abide in me and bring forth fruit. And if you don't bring forth fruit, you're severed from the vine and you're cast into the fire. That's Jesus' words. Go and read it in John the 15th chapter. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I point the way, or I show you the way. He said, I am the way. I don't tell you the truth. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and I don't speak of life and life more abundantly. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That destroys most of this religious stuff in current news all over the world. Many ways to heaven. There's only one way, Jesus said, and said He is the way, and no man cometh to God the Father, He said, except or through the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that sounds to the modern church, that sounds like you're full of prejudice and full of pride. Well, let the heathen rage, and the kings of this earth take counsel against God and His anointed. There is only one way. When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me, then the disciples said, Lord, show us the Father. He said, Have I been so long with you, and then you ask, show us the Father? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. I and my Father are one. He has seen the Father. If you can't believe this, believe it for my very works' sake. In other words, signs, wonders, and miracles. Open the blind eye. Raising Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. You've got to believe in the supernatural. Christianity, they say, is not unique. Well, first of all, we got off on the wrong foot when we think Christianity is a religion. Christianity is not a religion by scriptural terms. You can go and pray at the moon at midnight and be religious. You can get in the occult and be religious. Religion, the word religion, normally means superstition. But believers, when they hear the voice of God, it's not superstition. When they feel God's presence, healing virtue and comfort of the Holy Spirit, the resurrection of life in their physical body, they're not imagining things, and they're not. It's terrible today. Did you know, since you talk to God and God speaks to you, most of the world, even religion, think you and I are mental cases. We need some psychiatric treatment and help. See, Christianity, and it's a shame we let it sink down into this lower mass of man. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2 chapter that the natural man cannot comprehend or know the things of the Spirit. Jesus said unto Nicodemus, I've told you earthly things. It's hard for you to believe, and it's a mystery to you, and you don't understand. So when I tell you spiritual things, how on earth are you going to understand? According to 1 Corinthians, there's 2 chapter, it shows that you and I really, now we're on the eternal scale now, looking past, present, and future. You and I really know nothing except what the Word of God and the Spirit enlightens and shows us. You don't even know who I am. I don't know who you are. Oh, you're one of the humbards. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you. You may know the name, the earthly features, but you'll only know who a person is in God and in Christ, in the body of Christ, not by their resume, not by what they've done and who they know, but who they are in God. And long as you know who you are in God, well, first, who God is, not things God does, but who God is. Not just the hand of God, but the ways of God, as Moses wanted to know. Long as you know who God is and who you are, it doesn't make any difference if people ever see you or hear you or know who you are. Did you hear me? That's why in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh unto God, and I mentioned once before in a large church right here in Hot Springs, a minister with hundreds of people took this text, and here's the way he read it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Is that right? Amen, amen, amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Amen. That's not what the Bible said. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God in faith, he that cometh to God must believe that God is. That's first. It's always who God, then what God does. A lot of people run after what God does, what God does. Oh, God is doing things here, He's doing things there. Well, I already told you, true believers don't run after signs, wonders, and miracles. They produce them. And true believers, the signs follow them. They don't follow signs. But it said, Without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that God is who He says He is. Then He's a rewarder of those that diligently, look at this, seek Him for healing, seek Him for finances. We're still putting the cart before the horse. It said, those that diligently seek, what does it say, brother?
Him.
See? You don't just seek His hand, you seek Him. Some of the greatest miracles of healing during those great healing revivals. I was out there in the midst of them. I didn't advertise like the others. I never waste God's money on trying to tell who I am. I try to tell who Jesus is. And that's not condemnation for others. Let them obey God and march by heaven's drumbeat. But the tent I carried across America seated 8,000. It was 157 feet by 237 feet. It covered a whole city block. When Captain Kuhlman would visit for a meeting, and we only advertised it usually two days ahead, we'd have traffic controllers and police said we had 18,000. I saw all kind of miracles of healing in my own ministry. I mean real miracles of healing, operations canceled. One service, we had 7 people come in dying condition. For as I know, all 7 of them. We had times of months that no one left in a wheelchair. This is the truth. God healed them all. God healed them all. And you know, a person that hasn't walked for a while, they'd want to get up, they'd clasp my hands. I'd walk a little backwards with them, say, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Then let them hold to me. Then 2 fingers, and I say, now you're holding on to God and He's holding on to you. They walk. But I wasn't trying to impress with that what I was getting to. Some of the greatest miracles I've ever seen. A person comes up in tears and they say, Brother Clement, I have a terminal condition in my body. Just forget that. I just want more of God. I want more of God's love. I just want more. I need not tell you that those persons were really healed. They received a miracle of Almighty God. Now the Bible here with the psalmist says, I am peace. You understand that? We'll take today and say, oh, this dear lady wants peace. Now, you believers, all of you that believe, come up. Did you not know that the great miracles that I've seen in my life is not by calling 20 or 30 or 50 church members, half of them backslid, got their minds somewhere else, come up and all touch each other and pray for Sister Jones' healing? I don't limit God, but I've never seen a miracle take place yet with all of that. I never have. Sometime in a hospital room, you ask the believers, non-believers, to leave the room. We don't limit God. But this sister come up and says, oh, I'm just all torn up. I got a phone call. All the hell's broke loose back at my home. Oh, my, my. What do we do today? Now, you catchers come up. Good Lord. In my own ministry, I've seen thousands of people slain by the Spirit. Most of them I never touched. And I certainly didn't press and press and press and push and push and push and push and let the, finally a person just gives up and let the catchers lower on the floor. Then he gets back up. I happen to know in these ministries, Amy Simple McPherson's ministry, F.F. Bosworth ministry, I could go and name a whole slew, but I'm going all the way back to the early 30s. No one caught them. No one caught anybody in the Humbard Crusades. All of them were just, it's like their whole body became jello. Or, now listen to this, they all went face forward. But those days only demon-possessed people would show out and fall backwards. I said those days, don't misunderstand me. But with thousands falling, they'd go right down on glasses on their nose, not a one ever received one scratch on the face or broken nose or broken glasses. And you didn't get them back up. God bless Benny Hinn. I knew him before he ever was known here in America. I wrote his first two books for him, tried to help him in his young ministry, but he'd say, get that lady up. I want to tell you, in the old days, ushers couldn't get them up. They were a bag of 130 like sand. They would be out for minutes, some half hour, some 2 hours, slain by the Spirit of God. There's more than one way to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Oh God, get us out of the way and let God take over. It was just like the last 3 or 4 inches. I didn't notice it, but a person falls on their face and it's like angels just let them down the last 3 or 4 inches. Wayne and Leona were in Australia, I think it was. And the big auditorium rented, it's my sister and brother-in-law, was awful dirty. They're ashamed to be in the place. It's just an old building and they're still using it for a big auditorium. It's the only thing they could get. Nuns dressed in white got in the prayer line. All of them are in white. The building had a settled dust soot all over the floor. You could wipe it off of your shoes. If you dropped a Bible or a songbook and picked it up, you'd have to get a handkerchief and wipe off. It's just black. Every one of those nuns that fell under the Spirit, they fell on that dirty concrete floor. Leona will tell you this with tears in her eyes. She says, Clement, is unbelievable. Not a one of them had any of the dust or dirt or soot that if you touch your hand, it's to be like coal dust. Oh, we limit God, don't we? It's a crying shame. But you and I are blessed. We're living in the most exciting time that this world has ever seen.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.